From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The latest Democratic presidential debate on Thursday evening, hosted by ABC and Univision, showcased only the top 10 out of 20 candidates vying for their party's nomination. Julian Castro, who is struggling to maintain traction on his campaign, aggressively took on former Vice President Joe Biden in a powerful exchange over health care.
Barack Obama's vision was not to leave 10 million people uncovered. He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
Would not have to buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I mean, I can't believe that you said 2 minutes ago that they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy. You're forgetting that.
Mr. Castro says he was not making an implication about Biden's age in that exchange. Protesters challenged Biden during the debate about his participation in the Obama presidency's deportation program.
We're going to clear the protesters now. Just 1 minute.
In what was perhaps the most bizarre moment of Thursday's debate, Biden was asked a question about what he was doing to further the cause of racial justice, and the former vice president appeared to lose his train of thought.
School. We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, or a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there. There's
Thank
so
you, Mr.
much
Vice
we. No, I'm going to go like the rest of them do, twice over, okay? Because here's the deal. The deal is that we've got this a little backwards. And by the way, in Venezuela, we should be allowing people to come here from Venezuela. I know Maduro. I've confronted Maduro. Number two, you talk about the need to do something in Latin America. I'm the guy that came up with $740 million to see to it those three countries, in fact, change their system so people don't have a chance to leave. You're all acting like we just discovered this yesterday.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
That's former Vice President Joe Biden on Thursday, in what was perhaps the most incoherent moment of the Democratic presidential debate. Former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke also made headlines with his principled stand on gun violence.
Are you proposing taking away their guns, and how would this work?
I am. If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, if the high-impact, high-velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body because it was designed to do that so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15, and that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
O'Rourke was later targeted by a Texas Republican lawmaker named Briscoe Kane, who said on Twitter, "My AR is ready for you." Progressives were appalled at the fact that there was only one single question on the climate crisis that activists are gearing up to take on globally on September 20th. Also missing from the debate was any question of impeachment of Donald Trump, which is a topic of our story now with my guest, John Bonifaz, who is the co-founder and president of Free Speech for People. He's also the co-author with Ron Fine of The Constitution Demands It, the case for the impeachment of Donald Trump. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So what did you make of the debate overall on Thursday evening? This was the third debate. The question of impeachment certainly didn't come up. There was a lot of substantive discussion. Did you have an overall impression you can share with us?
Well, of course, we're a nonprofit organization, as you know it, Free Speech for People, and we're not engaged in taking positions on candidates for public office. But what I will say about this last debate is that missing from the discussion altogether was any reference to the shredding of the Constitution that this president engages in on a nearly daily basis, attacking our Constitution, our democracy, and the rule of law. And impeachment is the solution for dealing with the president that is such a threat to the republic in the way he defies the rule of law and the Constitution. And the fact that that didn't come up at all in this presidential debate is quite concerning.
Now, of course, it isn't that there are many candidates who actually have direct power right now on the issue of impeachment. The issue of impeachment lies in the House. There are several senators that are running for president. They're former members of Congress as well. So let's talk about what has happened on this issue of impeachment. It's been a long road. You have said, along with others, from day one of the Trump presidency that he was deserving of impeachment. But only in this past week are we seeing a somewhat confused approach by the House committee that Gerald Nadler sits on, there might actually be articles of impeachment or the groundwork for articles of impeachment being laid formally in the House?
Yes, the Judiciary Committee this week passed a resolution which formalizes their impeachment inquiry, sets out procedures for moving it forward. But what's very concerning about this, of course, is there's no timeline set out as to when it will conclude, when articles of impeachment would be voted out of the committee and onto the floor of the House of Representatives. And the scope of the inquiry, at least according to the resolution they passed, remains contained around the Mueller report. And yet there are many other impeachable offenses this president has committed, which are outside the scope of what the Mueller report detailed. So I think what really needs to happen here, and we've laid this out with many other groups in a statement that we issued after the vote on this resolution, that there needs to be a deadline set for the committee to vote articles of impeachment out of their process, and that would be November 1st in our view, and that by November 15th of this year, the House, the full House, should be voting on articles of impeachment. We do not need to wait any longer, and we will not allow Congress to run out the clock on impeachment.
So the it seems as though part of the reluctance, if you will, from Nadler, the House Judiciary Chair, is that he is not getting a strong enough signal from his party's leadership to go ahead with this, right? How much of Nancy Pelosi's continued stymieing of impeachment efforts has to do with the stonewalling you're seeing, or at least foot dragging at the very least, in Congress?
I think it has a lot to do with it, and we certainly do see conflicting messages from what the House leadership is saying versus what members of the Judiciary Committee are saying in terms of what they're doing. But we have to look back at the Watergate era as the historical example here for what needs to happen. The Judiciary Committee didn't wait on the House leadership's okay to move forward with their inquiry in October 1973. They went ahead with that inquiry. And of course, by March of 1974, the Watergate prosecutor had submitted materials to the committee. And within 4 months after that, in July of 1974, the committee voted out articles of impeachment. There has already been more than 4 months after the Mueller report was released to Congress. And there's more than enough evidence just in that report alone to justify articles of impeachment. But then, of course, prior to the release of that Mueller report, we had many more impeachable offenses that had already been committed, including the start of this presidency, violating the emoluments clauses and treating the Oval Office as a profit-making enterprise at the public expense. So the Judiciary Committee needs to move forward with due speed with respect to this process and not drag it out any longer and push to the floor of the House of Representatives a vote on articles of impeachment against this lawless president.
And I want to quote what Gerald Nadler said when he was asked, or when he sort of announced what it was that his committee was doing. And just this quote is an indicator of the internal confusion, at least within Nadler's mind. He said, "This committee is engaged in an investigation that will allow us to determine whether to recommend articles of impeachment with respect to President Trump. Some call this process an impeachment inquiry. Some call it an impeachment investigation. There is no legal difference between these terms, and I no longer care to argue about the nomenclature." What could he have said? He said, "I'm not answering any more questions about a possible inquiry, investigation, at the and the rest." Should he have just said, "Yes, this is the first step in an impeachment proceedings"?
Well, that would have been helpful, but he's already said that in court papers, in filings in the federal district court in D.C. with respect to trying to access the grand jury materials from the Mueller investigation, and with respect to trying to force Don McGahn, the former White House counsel, to testify. And so we take the committee at its word with respect to what, in fact, it's is saying in court, which is they're conducting an impeachment inquiry. But again, the point that we've argued here, and we put forward a letter back in July, on July 30th, to the committee, a coalition of public interest groups that have joined us on this letter, that that argues that the committee needs to broaden the scope of its inquiry, needs to set a clear timeline for when it will be concluding it and voting out articles of impeachment, and needs to have a public strategy to make the public understand what's at stake. And unfortunately, we had this six-week August recess, this congressional recess, that really slowed the question down. And now we're seeing some activity, and that's all well and good, but it needs to be concluded in an expedited manner. We have an urgent matter at stake here, Sonali, and that is a president who threatens the republic and our democracy every day. And he needs to be held accountable through the impeachment process. And we should not allow those who want to stop the impeachment process by dragging out this process and running out the clock, we should not allow that to happen.
You were mentioning earlier that a big part of the issue is how he has attempted to profit personally from the presidency. We've seen a lot of news coverage of how the U.S. Air Force is using a refueling stop very close to Trump's own resort in Scotland. And now Politico is reporting that that the Air Force members who stopped for refueling stayed at his resort more than 40 times since 2015. It's interesting, the groundwork for this deal that Trump personally oversaw was laid well before Trump even ran for president. But then after he became president, it looks as though, at least according to news coverage, not only did the Air Force continue to use that airbase, to use that refueling stop, rather, but they might have increased the usage of it. And only now the Air Force is doing an internal investigation because of all this news coverage. I mean, just that one case in and of itself, do you think that that would, you know, that just adds to all of the evidence around why impeachment is necessary?
It absolutely does. I mean, this president is engaging in unprecedented corruption of the White House. And as I said, he treats the Oval Office as a profit-making enterprise at the public expense. And that's just the latest example of how he is engaging in doing so. But as we know, the offenses around his abuses of power and abuse of the public trust extend beyond the starting point of his presidency when he defied the Constitution by refusing to divest from his business interests and starting to profit off of the presidency. They extend to racist abuses of power of this president, giving aid and comfort to neo-Nazis and white supremacists, inciting violence and undermining equal protection of the law. They extend to dangling the pardon for people who have been engaged in either committing crimes or he wants them to commit crimes, for example, suggesting to people for building the wall on the southern border that they've violate any crimes along the way, he will go ahead and pardon them, which is an abuse of the pardon power, the abuse of the emergency powers to effectively take money, public money, that Congress has appropriated for something else to build his wall when Congress has explicitly said it refuses to provide the financing, the public financing for that wall on the southern border. The list goes on and on, Sonali, of a president who so defies the Constitution and the rule of law, and time will tell who was on the right side of history here and who stood up to this president when they had the power to do that in the House of Representatives and issue these charges. We are at a critical moment in our history, defining moment for this nation and for our Constitution. And it's time for members of Congress who took an oath of office to defend the Constitution, defend the rule of law, to stand up for our democracy today.
Now, with Pelosi sort of holding back, I'm wondering if other Democratic congressional leaders could breathe more life into these impeachment proceedings. Representative John Lewis, in particular, is apparently on the verge of declaring whether or not he supports impeachment. He has said, "My time is growing nearer, and he's implying that he has, quote, some very strong feelings, and there is a sense that if he were to declare support for impeachment, that it would sway a lot of other congressional Democrats. What do you think?"
I think that's very possible. Of course, Congressman Lewis refused to attend the inauguration in January of 2017 of Donald Trump. He called him an illegitimate president. And I think it's highly likely that he has privately voiced his support for impeachment proceedings. But were he to come out publicly, I think it would be helpful for other members who have stayed on the fence. But again, the Judiciary Committee has its work to do, and it should not be looking for the votes to be there on the floor of the U.S. House while they're doing their work. They should do what they're charged to do in the Judiciary Committee, which is to conduct this impeachment investigation and to then issue articles of impeachment. And then we'll see where the votes will be in the House of Representatives and who will stand on the right side of history.
Doesn't it seem as though the Democrats are just showing such weakness when they can't even rally around this issue of impeachment? You see the Republicans who are so aggressive and so united when they put their mind to any particular issue. You know, they're remaking the judiciary. They're pushing ahead with the anti-immigrant agenda. They're so united on so many fronts, with some notable exceptions where there are some dissenters against Trump, but they don't hold back. And you see Democrats hemming and hawing constantly. And in fact, Republicans are almost daring them to impeach Trump. Trump is almost daring them to impeach him, making fun of them for their, quote, sad impeachment efforts that he just tweeted. I mean, you know, it just seems as though they are undermining themselves by not being clear on this issue.
Yes, I think members of Congress on both sides of the aisle need to grow some backbone on this question. Congressman Al Green has been an exception on this from day one. He's been pushing for articles of impeachment. He's forced three floor votes thus far. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, new to the Congress, introduced a resolution to call for this impeachment inquiry back in March. So it shouldn't have taken this long to get to the place where we now see a formal impeachment inquiry beginning. But at the very least, six more weeks is all that's necessary for concluding this investigation and moving articles of impeachment out of the committee and onto the floor. And I think really what's at stake here is not just the members and their legacy and their reputations into history, but what's at stake is our Constitution and our democracy and that fundamental principle that no one is above the law, not even the President of the United States. The impeachment process is designed especially for this kind of situation where a president so defies the Constitution that he must be held accountable through that process in the Constitution.
Do you feel that too many politicians are playing politics with this issue of impeachment? Because Nancy Pelosi, you know, has said very strongly exactly how she feels about Trump, but basically suggested that it's better to get rid of his presidency through the election process rather than through the impeachment process. But is she sort of not being true to the Constitution of the United States by stepping back on impeachment and suggesting that this is a political game rather than a matter of principle?
Right. She's not being true to the Constitution. She's not being true to the oath she took and every other member of Congress took to defend, preserve, and protect the Constitution. The fact is that the impeachment clause is there in the document the framers laid out precisely for this kind of president who presents a direct and serious threat to the republic now. And to talk about impeaching him at the ballot, there is no such thing as impeachment at the ballot. We hold elections for president every 4 years to deal with whether or not we want to keep the person in who's in office there, or if the person is no longer able to stay in after two terms, having a new president. That's why we hold elections, to deal with the question of who should stay there, who should not, based on policies, based on differences in the kind of government we want. But we don't use the election process to deal with high crimes and misdemeanors. That's what the impeachment process is for. And so Speaker Pelosi and other members of Congress who have yet to endorse the call for impeachment proceedings against this president need to read the Constitution and need to understand what's at stake and put principle over politics and do what's right for the Constitution and for our nation.
I mean, we're getting on nearly 3 years of this presidency. You've talked about how it's taken far too long for them to even get to this stage. If they wanted, they could start and finish this entire process in 4 to 6 weeks. But what are the odds? They're just going to drag it out till next November. Again, if the Democrats are playing politics with this issue, I'm wondering if they're going to use the impeachment proceedings themselves as some sort of election ploy. Look, we're doing something on impeachment, but not actually get through with it in a timely manner and wait it out till the election.
That is our fear. That is why we join with Credo Action, By the People, and others this week in calling out the Judiciary Committee and demanding that it vote out articles of impeachment by November 1st and vote on the floor of the House by November 15th on those articles of impeachment for all members to do that. That's why we issued the statement, because we fear that they are engaging in dragging this out to the point where they never intend to have a floor vote, but just use it for political purposes. And there's two very dangerous precedents that will get set if they do it that way. Number one will be the precedent of misusing the impeachment process for these political purposes. But number two will be the dangerous precedent set for having a president, an occupant of the Oval Office, so engaged in shredding the Constitution on almost daily basis and never be held accountable, never have the charges issued for the high crimes that he has committed. That is a dangerous precedent setting for not just a future administration of his, if for some reason somehow he would be able to prevail in the next election, but also future administrations beyond his time. And we cannot allow that erosion of the rule of law and erosion of the Constitution to continue. That's why people all over the country must stand up and demand that their members of Congress do the right thing, defend the Constitution, and push a vote on articles of impeachment in November to the floor of the House of Representatives.
Give out a website, Ron, where people can find out more about the work you do.
Yes, you can reach us at freespeechforpeople.org, and we invite people to learn more about our work taking on this unprecedented corruption of the White House, as well as our work on challenging big money in politics and defending election security. And you can also learn about this impeachment campaign at impeachmentproject.org.
And we'll post those to our website. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, Sonali.
John Bonifaz is the co-founder and president of Free Speech for People, co-author with Ron Fine of The Constitution Demands It, the case for the impeachment of Donald Trump. We've been discussing the latest on the House impeachment efforts. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.